Today in Washington, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said this is a long, hard war, and, quote, we're going to have tragic days.
In the last analysis, the people who are firing off these surface-to-air missiles are the same people who are killing Iraqis. They're the people who we saw in film recently torturing and cutting out off fingers and hands and heads and tongues of people. And they're going to be beaten.
Rumsfeld spoke to ABC. NPR's Eric Westerveld is at the Pentagon. Eric, what have you been able to learn about this incident today?
Well, Steve, officially the investigation is still underway into what brought down the Chinook helicopter, but senior military official tells NPR that they believe that a missile hit the engine of the helicopter and caused the pilot to attempt to make an emergency crash landing, and they believe it likely was an SA-7 type of missile, a surface-to-air missile. These are Russian-made surface-to-air missiles.
And when Rumsfeld makes that statement about the same people who are firing these missiles are the same people who are cutting out tongues and so forth, should that suggest that the U.S. actually knows who fired this missile?
Well, Mr. Rumsfeld may know something we don't, but it's not entirely clear who fired this yet. It's believed that they were most likely Saddam Hussein loyalists, Ba'ath Party officials, the Saddam Fedayeen, who have access to this surface-to-air weapon that was a major part of Saddam Hussein's conventional military arsenal.
It's pretty easy to get your hands on something like this?
Well, that's right, Steve. I mean, these are small, lightweight, easy to transport. They weigh 25 to 30 pounds, 5 to 6 feet long. You could fit them in a large duffel bag, in the back of a car. You can drive them in a boat. That's what makes them so hard to detect and find, is that they're relatively small and easy to use. The U.S. military has tried to buy some of these off Iraqis for $500 a piece, but we're told that they're going on the black market for several thousand dollars, sometimes even up to $5,000.
You know, people who follow the military have to be reminded of that American helicopter that was shot down in Somalia in 1993, which had a big effect on the mission there, and 18 Americans were ultimately killed in a battle that resulted. These, I know, are powerful machines, but they can also be vulnerable, can't they?
Well, they can, especially during takeoff and landing. The Chinook transport version of that helicopter is extremely vulnerable during takeoff and landing. It is slow and cumbersome. But that said, there have been thousands of helicopter flights in Iraq. There are dozens every day, and very few have been shot down. So one could make the argument this was most likely a lucky shot, because the U.S. military has not lost that many helicopters during the entire operation. They're also on board anti-missile systems that can be deployed. It's not clear that the pilot had time to do that, but they're essentially these heat-seeking missiles, these SA-7s, so the helicopters can send out this high-temperature flare to try to lure the missile away and take the missile off of its course. That, combined with evasive maneuvers, is usually effective, I'm told, about 90% of the time.
And Eric, one broader question, if I might. I know that Ambassador Paul Bremer, the head of reconstruction in Iraq, says he wants Iraqi security forces to take a greater role in securing the country. What are military officials telling you about how soon Iraqis can realistically play a major role in the security of that country?
In the past, military officials have said that Iraqi police need at least 8 weeks of training. You try to cut that down to 4 to 2, and you're essentially putting, you know, kids on the street with a AK-47 and just a tiny bit of training, and that may not be effective. So it's a difficult situation, and they're going to continue to focus on trying to speed up training of Iraqi forces.
NPR's Eric Westerveld is at the Pentagon. Eric, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.